Hey, this is Ricky Rocket from Poison, and you're listening to Hassling the Paranormal on KXRW 99.9 FM.
This is Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. I'm the director of Big River Paranormal, the Oregon team for the Atlantic Paranormal Society. I've been obsessed with the paranormal since having unexplained experiences as a child. These experiences left me with more questions than answers. Join me as we explore all things paranormal with some of the top specialists and experts in the paranormal community.
Welcome to Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. Today's guest, we have quite a few of them today. We're going to be talking about the Haunted Gully's Butcher Shop in Astoria, Oregon. So we'll go ahead and start with Diana. Can you introduce yourself and tell us what your role is at the butcher shop?
Hi, I'm Diana Gully. I'm the owner and operator, and I started the butcher shop in 2016. And within 2 years, I found out it was haunted and ghost adventures showed up, kind of happenstance. And since then, I've had a whole bunch of ghost investigators through there, and the tour's been great.
Let's go with Signe. You want to introduce yourself and tell us how you got involved at the butcher shop?
So my name is Signe Condon, and I started the butcher shop in 2020 with a group named Ghostoria. I joined them and we did the tours there for about a year. And then we went off on our own and had our own adventures. And then I've just come full circle and I am now a tour guide for Diana at the butcher shop.
All right. We'll go with Joey next.
I'm Joey. I am also a tour guide at the butcher shop. I've been doing it for about a year, and I was a skeptical person when I joined, and I'm much less skeptical now.
All right, now we'll go with your mother.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and I'm a tour guide at Gully's, and I've been doing it for about 3 years now almost. So I've been doing it for a while, having a great time working with great people and getting to experience things you never knew would happen.
All right. And we also have Mariah Tasvegan, my daughter, here with us. She was able to go on an investigation there. So we'll have her on to talk about her experiences in just a little bit. But Diana, let me talk to you a little bit more about the butcher shop. How did you get into the place? Like, when did that start?
Well, we saw the empty space in 2016 and we just wanted to do something different. We were going from doing houseboat building, you know, of all things. And I thought, well, I really want to meet shop in Astoria. There wasn't any good place to purchase meat. You had to go to Portland or try to find a farm. So I wanted really good stuff in Astoria. So that was the original idea, was to bring healthy stuff that's farm raised and no chemicals to our little town. So that's how it started out. I had no intention of ever doing a ghost tour. It wasn't even part of the plan at any point. So
yeah, what happened that led you to believe the place is haunted?
Well, I tried to have my office down under the butcher shop in the basement, and everything's underground. It's all dark and nobody had been using it for about 30 years. And I thought, well, they were just filling it full of shipping stuff. I don't really understand why they haven't been doing anything with it. And so I put an office down there And within 2 weeks, I had doors opening and closing. I was hearing footsteps. My computer would blip out. I put a landline in there and I had all the like garble weird stuff going on. So then I called Spooked in Seattle. I'm not sure if
Okay.
you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
It was the only one I could find, then that would go around and look at places. So they came down and stayed for 2 nights and did a pretty good history investigation. And they're the ones that figured out that a woman had passed away not far from where my desk was. So,
Oh.
yeah, so that was kind of, it was interesting that they didn't tell me that when I went to lease the shop. All
Imagine
they said was the
that.
parking's bad. So yeah, so that's what happened. That's kind of what started there. I moved my office upstairs and then that didn't work either because I had spirits up there bothering me when I was trying to do stuff. And I was just too creeped out by that. So it was very interesting start.
So what led you to embrace it and just start doing ghost tours?
Well, at first it was a thing where I just became fascinated with it and I started spending more time down there and we cleaned out a lot of the area and there's the back area that has the door that goes into the next section, like under the sidewalk area. Do you know where that is?
Yeah.
Kind of. So that we actually had to get unfrozen and we got that open and there was burnt wood everywhere. So that made me more fascinated. And it took about probably five truckloads of burnt wood before we started finding things. So this was what was just really interesting to me because I was investigating history by picking up garbage. So that's when I found things like an old ice pick and a man's suitcase with his picture and different things that I ended up incorporating. And we were getting a lot of reactions. We were getting things moving in different areas. So that's kind of, it just developed over time. I just kept showing people. It just kind of happened that way. I am so fascinated with what happened down there and the people that are still there.
Yeah,
So,
sounds like you had your own little kind of like time capsule down there to go through.
oh, certainly. It's just amazing. There isn't any other place in Astoria where it's not touched. And I think that's part of the reason that it's so haunted.
Yeah.
The spirits remain because there's stuff still there.
That makes sense. So, how did you get featured on Ghost Adventures?
Well, that was kind of interesting. There was a couple that worked for us just for 3 months, and then they quit and they opened their own butcher shop like 4 blocks away down the
Oh, nice.
street. So, yeah, it was kind of a lot of people were upset with them for doing that. And anyway, they weren't getting a lot of business because people were so angry because of them doing that to us.
Yeah.
And so they called Ghost Adventures because they had an area of their shop that was haunted. And Ghost Adventures came out. I guess they got Liberty Theater too to agree to investigate there. And they went and looked at the other butcher shop, and there wasn't even enough room to turn around in the area that they were saying was haunted. So,
Yeah.
then one of their people came over from the Liberty and ordered a sandwich, and I was talking to him at the counter, and I said, "You want to see scary?" And I thought it was PBS doing filming. I had no idea it was Ghost Adventures. So that's how that happened. I showed them around, and they showed up about 2 in the afternoon that same day, and I had never seen that show. So that's how that started.
So what happened when they came in? Did they have any experiences themselves, or?
Yes, they were just absolutely amazed. And I took them through one time, and then they spent about 3 days there. I gave them keys at midnight to go in at midnight. And Zach had Aaron and the other guy do it, of course.
Yeah.
But what they saw, and this was when Twin Paranormal was there, it was the same way as well. They were both attracted to the dark room, both groups. They both ended up in the dark room, not the ghost room, which I thought was really interesting. Ghost Adventures got a really clear picture of a man hanging in the corner of the dark room. So that was one of the things. So, and they heard a lot of noises, voices, just a lot of things. Twin Paranormal actually caught a figure going across while we were talking. So that was a really, if you haven't seen that one.
I don't think I have. Sickney showed me some of the stuff that's got from there, but I don't think I've seen those. So are you, will you go down there by yourself now? Have you kind of just kind of gotten over the fear of it, or is it pretty, you still kind of freaked out about it?
No, we had a leak yesterday when I was doing a tour down there, and water started pouring everywhere. And I took my tour up. And there was a guy at the door, and he goes, "I'm interested in buying your equipment from the butcher shop because I'm getting rid of that stuff." And I just grabbed him by the shirt, and I said, "Do you know how to turn off a hot water heater?" And I drug him down the stairs with me. I'd never seen him before. So now I don't go down there by myself unless it's just go in that first room and head right back up.
All right. So let me go with Kelly here. So do you have any good experiences that you'd like to tell us about at the butcher shop that have, you know, freaked you out or made you a more of a believer?
I have had a few scares, that's for sure. I've had one fright is what I call it.
Yeah.
And I usually tell people about it at the end of the tour because it actually had my heart racing and my hand was shaking and the whole nine yards. But it was, do you want to hear about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course we do.
Well, it was when I was, it was about, I'd been there about 2 months, I think, maybe three. And I was down there and I had done two big tours. So I always count heads when I do the bigger tours. And I let everybody out and locked the door. And I went back downstairs to, you know, set everything up for the next tour the next night. And when I went back upstairs, I didn't think anything of it. I closed the door, turned off all the lights, and I was heading out the door. And I get to almost halfway to where the front door is to go and lock it. And I literally heard pounding steps coming up the stairs behind me, behind the door. And I'm like, I turned around with my fists up because I thought it was human. I really did. And I kept thinking, okay, how did they get down there? Where were they hiding? How did we not see them? How long have they been down there? And yeah. I'm looking, and they had a rack where they had the knives hanging. And I'm like, okay, if I get to that, I have a weapon, but I'm closer to the door. I was in fight or flight, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm standing there, and I've got my fists up just waiting for whoever's going to come through that door because he sounded like he was going to be big, you know? Yeah. And finally, I'm just like, just leave, Kelly, just leave. And so I turned and I beat feet towards the front door and I'm looking over my shoulder the whole time, waiting for some big guy to come through that door. And I bend down to unlock the door. And I kid you not, about 4 to 5 feet behind me, I heard boots, like almost cowboy boots, right on the floor behind me. My hand started shaking so bad. I was the bimbo killed in the horror movie because I couldn't get my keys in my car. My hand was shaking so bad. But I get in the car and I call my husband and he's like, "Well, do I have to come down there?" And I'm like, "No." And then I started laughing because I realized it was paranormal. Because when I thought it was human, I was terrified. When it was paranormal, I can handle this. But it was the one fright I've had that really, really did scare me, as it were.
Yeah, I'm surprised you go back down there by yourself after that one.
Oh, I'm like, come on, bring it.
Just get it on video next time, right?
Right? I wish I had thought about it, but I was so terrified I wasn't even thinking.
Yeah. What about you, Joey? What kind of experiences have you had?
My experiences have been scattered. I constantly am in this battle of trying to explain stuff in my head because my brain doesn't ever let me accept that something's happening. So you can ask her, you can ask Signe. Every time something happens, I'm like, okay, but what if it was this? I guess an early experience, and I think this is kind of something about the location, you know? The spirits there seem to test you if you're a new guide. So my third day there, I had somebody on the tour. He was a middle-aged guy. He seemed like it was right in front of Diana. You mentioned the dark room that's down there. It was right in front of that room. I was standing in front of the door, my back facing the room. I was telling them about it, the tour group. And this guy, he's like, he was the kind of guy who didn't seem like he was really into it. He seemed like he was dragged by his kids. And I watched his face go from calm and kind of bored to like, he was shocked. Now I was holding a flashlight, and so I moved the flashlight. He was like, "Move your flashlight." I was like, "What?" He said, "Move your flashlight." He started yelling, and I was moving it, and I realized he was trying to create shadows behind me, and because he saw something, and he freaked out. He was like, "I swear, I just saw a man with like brown hair and like a chiseled jaw peek out from behind you in the doorway," and that was a little freaky as my first, actually my third tour at that point, I think, and hearing that something appeared behind me that I didn't see, so. That's one of my first experiences.
So, Signe, can you tell me who are some of the spirits that you believe haunt the place?
Four. We have Abigail,
Okay.
Henry, Adam, and Sarah. Now, there are other spirits we think are down there, but we haven't really verified them through multiple sources, so we don't really talk about them.
Okay. So, how did you come up with the names that you have now?
Most of them are through spirit box or through mediums. The one, Abigail, was someone that actually lived and worked in that building at one point in time. So
Okay.
we know she was an actual person that was there.
Well, that's pretty cool that you found the history and the name and all that kind of stuff to coincide with it. What about you as far as experiences down there? Do you have a particular experience that scared you or that stands out for you or?
There's a lot of cool things that have happened down there. Interesting, eye widening. But a lot of it was EVPs that we didn't get to experience firsthand. But I
Okay.
would say we had one fright, and we don't know if it was real, but it was when Nat, my partner in crime with Ghostoria, and I were down there. And at the time, there was only one way in and one way out. So we were by the entrance exit, and we heard what sounded like a metal tray being thrown or dropped. And we literally freaked out because I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell am I going to get out of there? Because it was right where the exit was. And then when we thought about it and went and looked, there's no metal that could have been thrown. So we don't know what it was. It could have been on the street for all we know, but it really did scare us.
Did you get that on audio or anything, or is it just
Absolutely. Of course we didn't.
You
None of the good stuff gets captured.
know what frustrates me is that sometimes even if you are recording, like you'll hear yourself react to the noise or whatever, and then it won't be on the recording. Exactly.
Yeah, always, all the time.
The hell out of me because it's like, oh, we got this great thing. We're totally got, and then it's like, you can hear us going, "What the hell was that?" But you can't hear what that was. When that happens.
Just the other night, Joey and I and a
Oh,
patron
yeah.
on the tour,
Yeah.
we all heard a woman's voice say a name out loud, and we all thought the other one said it,
Oh,
but
that's
it was
right.
none of
Yeah.
us.
That was
But of
weird.
course, no recording.
What was the name?
Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bethany,
It
huh?
happens to be the name of another spirit that has been mentioned in the underground.
Interesting. So, Joey, you seem to have a good relationship with a particular spirit. In fact, if you ask me, I think he may enjoy your company a little bit too much.
Yes. Well, following up on that earlier story, that particular spirit tends to inhabit what we call the dark room. Now, the dark room is, it people go in there, and if you don't ask permission from the spirit, he will make you. We say he pushes you out, but it's not a physical thing. It's more of a he just you just know it. I can tell you numerous times I've had people, we've all had people on our tours who are like, huh, yeah, right, get this. And they walk in there without asking permission and they're like, I don't know, man, it feels freaky in here. It's like we learn to tell. But the spirit, it's interesting because he kind of formed an attachment to me in the sense that I spent a lot of time investigating him. Kind of because I was always curious about his story. This is where, Aaron from Ghost Adventures saw the man hanging in the corner. This is where we call the dark room. I mean, that's pretty ominous, and he doesn't like people coming in. It's an interesting story to me. So my fiance and I spent some time investigating, and we were asking questions, and we were getting responses through the spirit box. And it was interesting because there was just so much coming through. And besides that, so sometimes, we'll join Signy on and Ghost Storia on investigations outside. They'll have a spot that they take us to investigate. And I've had at least six times, I think, confirmed that we've caught on audio where his name has come
Come
through
through.
the spirit box. And it
So he's
is
been calling you.
fascinating. Yeah, but it's like it don't
He's following you everywhere.
It doesn't feel like ominous because I always feel like he's more misunderstood than he is.
To me, as a mom's perspective, I almost feel like he watches out for Joey. Like he watches over him, kind of like, I'm going to watch out for the kid.
I had it. Like, I don't know if Signe told you this, but when I was there last, I got an odd feeling about him maybe being gay.
You're not the first one who has said that.
Besides that,
Well, you are handsome. You're a good-looking kid.
thanks. Well, I had a young man on the tour. This is a true story. We had suspected that he might have been gay just based on some of the responses. We had another group who came through and they asked a question and he said yes on the spirit box, or we think he said yes, but we didn't confirm it. So I always kind of had this anticipation as well. Then this gentleman, this young guy comes on my tour and he goes into the room and he goes, I don't know, man. I just like feel like he understands me. And I didn't know what that meant. And he's just like, I just feel comfortable and welcome here. So we go upstairs, that we finish the rest of the tour. I never mention that we think that the spirit's gay. I never do because it's like if people are gonna feel it, they're gonna feel it. So we go upstairs, he wants to buy a t-shirt, and he's like, yeah, I should bring my boyfriend here sometime. And it clicked in my head, like, wait. So this guy was gay, and Adam was just like, oh, he just understood it. And I think that's just fascinating to me that there's like no power of suggestion in that, and somebody else felt like that intuition, So,
That's
yeah, I thought it
so
was really
true.
interesting. So, Kelly, when someone comes on one of your tours, what can they expect?
Well, we do paranormal investigating. We give them some tools that they can use, EMF detectors, dowsing rods. I usually try to bring my thermal handheld because a lot of people seem to get a kick out of that.
Yeah, those are cool.
And we do a little bit of the paranormal, but we do a lot of Astoria's history as well because it has a very dark history. We were once known as the wickedest city on the West Coast, and that was a San Francisco reporter that dubbed us that. So that's pretty strong. So we try to have it be fun and lighthearted. I try to make sure people don't feel scared, but feel welcome and excited and intrigued by what they don't know yet.
Can you talk about some of the history in Astoria that you've mentioned there being not so kind?
Well, we had a very strong presence of the KKK. We were once that kind of town. We were also a town where, when we were an active port, Astoria had a lot of Shanghaiing that happened. We had a lot of prostitution. One of the things I found out is that prostitutes were actually the reason that there is a public bathroom underneath the Doughboy by Pig and Pancake, because they demanded they needed a public bathroom. So they finally got a public bathroom
And that's why, it's because the prostitutes demanded they have one.
So if you have the pee in Astoria and you're there, you should thank the prostitutes.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
So how do people find out more information about the tours and where to get tickets, that kind of thing?
You just go to AstoriaGhostTour.com. And okay. We have everything listed. So,
okay. And how much are tickets for the tour?
It's 20 for adults, 15 for kids. And then we do private investigations and mm-hmm. tours. So those okay. kind of range depending on time of year.
Is there an age group? Is there a certain age of kids that you prefer be?
You know, I've had 2-year-olds down there with their families that have walked around with EMFs and had the best time. So I think it all depends, you know, like I've had a lot of them on daytime type tours, made it a little less scary in there, you know.
Yeah. So, Signe, what advice would you give to someone that would say is a ghost tour virgin when coming on one of your tours?
anything and nothing, really.
Yeah,
because it's not a haunted house attraction, it's an actual haunted location, and we can never guarantee what the spirits are going to do or not do. Well, sometimes we feel bad when not much happens, but it just proves that we're not faking it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you think the most people when they come on your tours, when they leave, do you feel like they agree that there's something going on there? Do you have a lot of skeptics, or what would you say is the feeling people have afterwards?
Well, we do ask at the beginning of the tour if they believe, not believe, on the fence. And I would say probably about 3/4 of the people that go on these tours are somewhat believers or want to believe. Mm-hmm. But I have seen these hardcore skeptics kind of scratch their head and go, oh, that's weird.
Oh, yeah.
So they may not be believers, but it got them to think.
Yeah.
I've been asked, how did you do that? How did you make that do that? Yeah. How did that happen?
I got some today that were just completely astounded. And I get that a lot, where I wasn't expecting that. You know, it's just so strange.
What kind of experiences have people had that you brought on tour?
Well, today they were having talks with Adam, and he was doing it like he was making everyone's legs feel heavy. He told somebody that their grandma had to leave the room, and then he kind of got angry at everyone and told them all to leave. So that was an interesting one. But usually,
because his boy wasn't there.
Yeah, probably because Joey wasn't there. He likes me too, but Joey's his favorite, I'm sure. Sarah likes Diana. Him the best. So.
Oh yeah, Diana. I gotta tell you, you mentioned that. I don't know if I don't think we told you this, but the other night we had somebody who was a sensitive on the tour. He was a younger guy, yeah, kind of about my age actually. And he described when he walked into Adam's room that his legs were feeling heavy.
Yeah, he yes. and his mom.
He and his mom. Night. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said, right? That's what they said today. And it was a 10 and a 12-year-old and a grandma. So, you know, and I said wow. nothing about it. So that's just, she kept grabbing her legs. Can we go sit down? It's just a weird feeling.
I think before that young man, I had never heard of anyone having that feeling in there before.
Yeah.
I have to ask about the clown. Where did that come from?
Oh, the clown?
Yeah.
That's Charlie. So I used to read a lot of Stephen King, and I was pretty terrified of Pennywise. And then we actually cool. did a haunted house, like, right after COVID, and there was only 3 of us doing it. Well, I mean, it was a lot at first, and they all quit, but... But that's why I built him, you know, because for the haunted house and to get over my fear, I suppose. But I named him after a man named Charlie that was a homeless guy that was on Ghost Adventures. So that's why his name's Charlie. The homeless guy, he passed away, unfortunately. But...
We dubbed him Chuck.
Yeah.
More ominous. Without knowing his name? You guys called him, or did you know it was Charlie? And
no, we didn't know that. So it's interesting that we came up with a CH name, though.
You know, and I bet he's down there. I bet Charlie is wandering around too. He was a good friend. So,
well, we decked that clown up like a Christmas tree this year. Signe and I did. We put a hat on it and Christmas lights. It was fun.
I got lights.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was there with my team, I made a team member of mine, Erin. I was like, hey, come take a picture with this. And I didn't realize she was deathly afraid of clowns until I looked at the picture. I thought she was joking, but you could see the look of just like absolute terror in the eyes in the picture, which almost makes it better for me now. But like, I felt kind of bad about it, but not really.
Oh, boy.
So Mariah, we went down, our team Big River went down to the Gully's Butcher Shop for our investigation. Did you have any experiences that you remember to share?
It was a pretty quiet night, but I did have an experience back in the room with all the dolls. I can't remember the name of that room.
There is room.
But I was standing in the back corner, kind of behind, just watching everybody. And it kind of felt like I had a hand... Someone put their hand on my shoulder.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I looked around. There was nobody next to me. So,
wow. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't catch anything on audio or video or anything that night. But you know, everybody seemed to have some sort of experience that night. I didn't that night, but I did have when I was there before. I had an experience when I went to one of Sydney's tours. I was there, and I was just kind of watching and just like. Standing back and just kind of letting her do her thing. And I kept noticing as soon as we left the front room there where Abigail is at, it almost felt like she was following us. Like she was, and I kept seeing her out of like in the corner of my eye, like a kid, like, and she wouldn't like get close, but she would like just like stand in the doorway or whatever. And then you'd see her out of the corner of your eye. When you'd look, she'd just like bolt off. So at first I thought somebody was behind us and I went back and looked, and of course there's nobody back there, but I kept seeing that throughout the night. So that was kind of cool.
One of our teammates had mentioned that she had gone down to take 360s and mapping. She didn't do the tour with us when we went down with Signe. So she went into the dark room and didn't realize she was supposed to ask for permission. And so she went in there and felt all creeped out and was like, I don't want to be in here. And then left.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, he puts her out, apparently.
He sets his boundaries. He likes his space.
He's like, ew, a girl.
He does. He likes me. Yeah. He's exhausting, though.
Do you think, Joey, when you were getting his name in other places, do you think he's following you around and just wanting you to know that he's there, or what's your take on that?
I've kind of felt that like he's followed me around out of like maybe some degree of protection, but I think out of interest. I think he just finds me interesting in some way. I don't know why, but he basically, it's more like he just wants to know that he's there. And he doesn't always come through. Like, it happened a lot early on and then less so. Like, we did investigations further out and I never had him follow outside of, like, Astoria or the Seaside. Coast. Like, even at Seaside, he came
Seaside,
through.
He came through.
Yeah, Seaside, he came through, which is about 20 miles south of Astoria. Yeah. And, you know, he came through there twice at two different locations. But yeah, it's like he comes through once and then he's like, I'm done. I said my piece. I'm here. You don't need to talk to me again. And then he doesn't until next investigation.
Have you ever been like tried recording at your home and trying to see if you can get a response from at your house?
I don't think my mom would want to invite that in. She tends to keep a pretty close
boundaries on our home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a good idea.
With Ghost Away, right?
No, I use actual sage and Palo Santo. I go hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Good. We have a ghost here, so it's one of those upstairs. We have a spirit. Haven't quite figured out who it is, so.
Do you think it's someone that was there before, or maybe somebody that comes and goes with the butcher shop?
Well, there was a woman that was younger that had young children that passed away in that room. Seems to be a habit where I go. That's but they were
joined by Diane over.
Yeah, they're just like weird stories, right? But yeah. We actually are sitting down here and we'll hear her get out of bed. And it'll scare our dog sometimes, too.
Oh, it even scares the dog. Wow.
Yeah. So cool. Pets are sensitive, so they know.
Yeah, they probably know way more about it than we do. So it probably doesn't scare them like it does us. But every time we see the pet staring off into nothing, we're like,
what do you see that I don't?
Yeah.
Cats.
And the cats are probably like, hey, watch me screw with mom. I'm gonna stare off into the corner, and it's probably just
probably.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That's probably true.
We have investigated with a cat before, but unfortunately, it didn't lead to anything.
Yeah, oh, we did have an investigation where a cat showed up. That was pretty cool. We did get a really cool EVP off of it though, because we were at this location. We were getting ready to go outside and take a break, and Mariah was like, what do we do with a cat? And I was like, well, bring it outside with us. And we got an EVP of a woman clear as day saying, I love her.
Aww.
She's a very lovable, sweet kitty.
Yeah, well, I kept trying to steal the cat, and I was like, it has a home. You cannot take it home with you.
So, yeah. Then the spirit will miss it.
Yeah
probably.
That's the real reason I didn't bring her home.
Well, you could have brought the cat home in the spirit as well, then. You know, you don't want to do that.
I'm not afraid.
Do you have people sign waivers and that kind of stuff, that if they get injured on the tour, or if they take a ghost to them, you're not responsible for that?
I used to have them sign waivers, but then I figured out with my insurance that waivers don't really do anything. You know, you're still liable if they injure themselves. So you just have to do practical safety, you know.
Yeah, flashlights and common sense, yeah.
That's which sometimes that's lacking.
Yes. We've had some people that say, I want a spirit to follow me home. And I always remind them, do not summon what you cannot banish.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? You're not playing with her.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had someone email me not too long ago that took somebody home with them. So it does happen.
You should tell them it costs
quite a bit, really.
You want to go to the checkout?
I said, tell the spirit. It was Sarah that went with them, and it was a younger girl. Yeah, that costs a lot of money to have a spirit in your house, right?
That's a souvenir that, you know, they didn't expect to have, I guess. Signe, will you talk about in Sarah's room, there's that chair. Can you talk about the experience with the chair and what happened with that, as far as I believe it was a medium.
A medium?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a medium come on the tour, and we weren't aware she was a medium until probably about 20 minutes in. And we have had many people state the name of that spirit, Sarah. So when we know it's a medium, we'll kind of test them, right? So when she came in, I just said, what do you feel in this room? But I didn't ask for her name. And she says, who's Sarah? And we're like, yes, another person has validated us. And we told her who we thought it was. And she said that she was frightened and that she stays to the corners of the room. And we said, are we doing something? We don't want to upset her. And she said, no, it's the man attached to the chair in the middle of the room. And we asked if Sarah wanted us to take it out. And she said, yes. So we did for about 3 weeks, and there was like no activity, none, zilch. Right. So we asked Sarah if we could bring the chair back in. And we had all sorts of gear. And we said, Sarah, if you don't want us to light this up or make that ring or whatever it may be. And she didn't. And so we brought it back in, and it seems like the activity has come back somewhat.
I do,
but
feel
we don't
like
know who the man is.
When we had our investigation there, I do feel like when we're in that room, one of our, I can't remember who, but one of our teammates said, okay, what's up with that chair?
Yeah. Some people feel strange when they sit in the chair. Probably mm-hmm. I got more of that when we early on in, you know, 2020, when the tours first started, versus yeah. later on. It seems like activity kind of wanes sometimes. And I think maybe that person in that chair picks who they want to make feel off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sat in the chair trying to have an experience, but I didn't feel anything. But I do, I did feel bad though when I was down there with Signe. She had told me that they kept asking the child spirit to move the doll into the little bassinet thing there. And I swear she saw me move it, but she did not. And like a week later, I get a picture. She's like, oh my God. And I felt and like part of me wanted to be like, what are you talking about? But like, I had to be honest.
She tells that story on the tours now, by the way.
I do.
I like, she was standing right there, and I just put it there. I was waiting for her to say something to me about it. But then like, there was like a week later, she's like, what the heck?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. Yes. But yeah, thanks a lot.
Dang it.
Well, if I may ask a question, Diana, I know that on Ghost Adventures, you, like before, like Nat and Ghost Story and everybody came in and you guys have cleaned it all up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did notice that you said to Zach, something bad happened there, don't you think? Do you mm-hmm. remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the main thing that I wanted him to go look at. Just because the first time we went in that room, even Glenn, you know how Glenn is, you know, just
yeah,
not stoic, sure yeah. about the ghost thing even to yeah. this day, even though he's seen a few things. But we just both got that feeling that somebody was murdered, and it, I mean, that's
wow,
just like an offsetting, or maybe kept there, maybe they were Shanghai and they were forced to sit there. I don't yeah. know.
Well, if you look at the chair itself, I mean,
it
I don't know,
could have been anything
in the chair. There are like engraving, like where wrists would be sitting, like they're a little like the wood is kind of scraped off there, like almost consistent with like, you know, yeah, some tied to it or something.
Did yeah. you sit in that chair, Mariah?
I didn't, but I think our other teammate April did. I think she's the one that asked what was up with the chair.
That's okay. Yeah, that sounds mm-hmm. right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of weird with that place. Everybody kind of feels like stuff that, like, before they're told, like with the chair or like, you know, the room. And, you know, it's kind of weird that people feel the same stuff. It's kind of, it is really kind of cool.
It's very consistent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Furnace room also.
Yes.
I didn't go in there so much because there's yeah. not much space, but yeah.
Well,
everybody
that's
wants
one thing
to go in there.
Yeah.
You give them the opportunity and they all flock in there. It's like oh, they yeah. want to be scared, right?
Well, that's the point of going, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
I always find it funny. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, we try not to tell people what to feel when we do the tours. We yeah. try to let them experience it. And we say, if you guys feel anything, tell us throughout it. And the amount mm-hmm. of times, like, we get people who feel consistently, like the legs mm-hmm. on your tour, Diana, we had
every
it on our tour.
Day. Mm-hmm. So, it's always the same, which is just unsettling in itself, right? Yeah, and that chair has been there for, what, 10 years and had people sit in it, like, every day throughout that time. We've never reinforced that thing. We've never done anything with it. So isn't that kind of strange that it's...
Yeah.
Because it's just wood. You would think it would be in a million pieces by now.
Right.
They built them yeah. different back then.
Yeah, that's true. Good makers, right?
Do you ever have anybody come on the tour and like get scared and have to leave early?
All the time.
Diane, or
all the time.
Kelly always has people leaving.
I do. And I'm probably one of the ones who makes it as calm as possible.
They're just scared of you.
They must be. It's me.
Well, I always find it funny when people go on ghost tours, get scared, and then want to leave. It's like, why? Isn't that the point of going on a ghost tour? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we've had that several times where people are like, oh, it's scary. I can't handle it. I'm like, yeah, that's
well, now there's a place to sit upstairs so they can just go up and wait. Before there wasn't, like before they just had to leave.
But that's haunted too. So
yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, the bathroom I heard has a some fun there too. So one of our teammates said that she felt like she wasn't alone while she was peeing. And I'm like, well, more than
that would be Henry.
Yeah,
right? Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Big old perv.
Yeah.
Every pretty girl he grabs all the time.
All he still won't grab mine, though. He still won't grab me. I don't know why. I guess I'm just not his type.
My hair pulled.
Ask Adam, too.
Adam probably won't let him, it's like he's mine.
I see. I'll let them duke it out.
Yeah. As long as we can get on audio or video, right? All right, well, we're just about out of time. It's been great having you all. So it's astoriaundergroundtours.com, or what's the website?
Astoria Ghost Tours Underground.
Okay. And people can go there and find all the information, dates, times, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, well, it's been great having you guys, and
thank you for having us. Thank you.
See
you soon. We'll be right back with more Hassling the Paranormal right after these messages.
Programming like this is made possible by support from High Five Cannabis, your local cannabis connection in Vancouver and Stevenson, Washington. High Five offers flower, concentrates, edibles, tinctures, topicals, and more. Whether you're new to cannabis or know what you need, their staff is available to assist. If you go to highfivecannabis.com, spelled H-I-G-H, the number 5, cannabis.com, you can learn about their specials like Munchy Monday, Senior Tuesdays, Waxy Wednesdays, and Loyalty Thursdays. Again, that's highfivecannabis.com.
Oh, you know it. Support for KXRW Vancouver comes from On Point Removal Services. On Point Removal Services is a Vancouver, Washington-based junk removal service that proudly serves all of the Clark County area and beyond. Offering residential, office, and construction junk removal, On Point will do all of the loading, pickup, hauling, and cleanup on your project. And On Point is fully licensed and insured. For more information, visit their website at onpoint-removal.com.
Welcome back to Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. My guest today is psychic medium Daniel Monroe. How's it going, Daniel?
Hey, Jason. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, so you're opening a new spiritual center. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I'm opening Daniel Monroe Spirit Center, which is actually such a full circle moment for me. So I started at the age of 17, and it was in Battleground, Washington, of all places, and it was a metaphysical shop called New Awakenings. And I remember going in there and like wanting to do an event, and I didn't really know what I was doing, and I had to read the owner just to get, greenlit to even work there. And next thing you know, I read the owner, and then 3 weeks later, they put me out in front of a group of 35 people, and it's what projected me into doing platform work and live shows and stuff, and it's something that I fell in love with. So I just recently adopted twins, and your perspective of things and your goals of things really start to shift when you become a parent. And my goal in life was always to have kids. And like, now that the biggest goal is like accomplished, I am like, okay, how do I kind of nest, right? How do I kind of center myself? And I was like, what about creating a spirit center and a place where other mediums and other practitioners and other healers get to have the opportunity that I was given at 17? And how amazing would that be, that it's like a little family owned situation, something that my boys later on can, be a part of or grow into if they want to. But also for the community here in, Clark County and in Vancouver, because it's so interesting. We still don't get taken serious as a psychic or an intuitive or a medium, but yet we still have to pay, the business licenses for Vancouver, Washington, and we have Best of Clark County, but yet there's not a metaphysical category in there. So it's something that I really like sat with for a little bit. And I was actually laying in bed one night and Spirit was like, oh, check, the local listings for an office space. And I was like, oh, I have such a good, deal right now. Like I just got over my huge overhead in Portland. And so I looked and like literally the situation fell into my lap and walking through it, I could just envision every single moment and being able to offer the community and other practitioners that. So that's why I named it Daniel Monroe Spirit Center.
So what kind of events and things are you hoping to have there?
Well, we were going to do strippers, but we didn't get the license for that.
I don't think Clark County allows that.
Yeah, I don't think so. But no, so I'm going to be hosting other healers, practitioners. I obviously teach like a bunch of my own mediumship development classes, intuitive development classes. I love really doing soul work because my number one structure is if you can't clear out and heal the things you're holding on to as a psychic and as a medium, like you won't be able to develop as deeply and as fully as you should. So I offer those things, but like I said, I really want to open it up not just to, my offerings, but other people, other teachers that, they don't know where to go or they keep getting no's. Like that's another huge thing that we get in this industry is when we go look at office spaces or go look at management companies to rent out a room or whatever. I get told all the time, like, oh, if you move into this office building, then so and so is going to move out, or you know what? It's not a good fit for the other tenants and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I literally show up in 6-inch heels, a pound of makeup, my Coach bag. Like, I look very deluxe, if you will, not to, toot my own horn, but it's like, I'm not showing up doing anything crazy. I'm literally showing up as me, providing healing and providing, a form of therapy. And that people say, like, all the time, like, this is something that is more healing than years of therapy for me. So it's just so interesting how people still don't offer that. So classes, I'm opening it up to any practitioner. And again, as long as it's in a good fit and like it's a good vibe and connection. So development classes, healing classes, soul work classes are my favorite, like doing mirror work, manifestation classes. So what honestly, my name might be on things, my face might be on posters, but I literally work for spirit. And so there's times where I'm teaching intuition classes. There's times that I'm teaching empath classes. There's times where I'm teaching pendulums. There's times I'm teaching manifestations or past life regression. So it really just depends on the vibe and collectively that we need. But most importantly, my goal is to listen to the community and what people need for healing or development in that moment, because it's all about being seen and validated to be able to grow.
And where is this located?
So it's actually not in downtown Vancouver, but near downtown Vancouver. So it's off of Grand Boulevard over by the Deaf School. Like the Deaf School is like
Okay.
within distance. And ironically, Jason, I'm in the middle of two cemeteries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like the old flower shop back in the day. That was there for like 15 years off of Grand Boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so May 2nd, you're having the grand opening.
Yeah. May 2nd, which is a Saturday. It's wild that it's like 2 weeks away.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. So you're just going to be there and having everybody come by and check out the space.
So we're gonna do, because I'm gay, honey, so I love a good moment, right? And so
Yeah.
we're having it be like this fun thing. So for the first like 10 people, we're doing swag bags. So the first 10 people get a little swag bag full of goodies. We're doing a raffle basket that, should I tell you? I think you would like lose your mind. James and Prof actually autographing books for me.
Oh, sweet.
And yeah, the OG medium, honey. So he's autographing like his original book, Talking to Heaven. Like that's going to be in the raffle basket. I'm giving away a 30-minute private reading with me, gift certificate. We have intention candles going in there, other local vendors and People who love to create, they're donating some stuff to go into the raffle basket as well. So we have those two giveaways, and then I have card readers coming in, so you'll be able to get card readings from other, practitioners and other readers. And again, this is another opportunity to have other intuitives to be able to get their names out there.
All right. So May 2nd, and that starts at what, 11 a.m.?
11 to 5, and then we're going to be open every Thursday through Sunday from 11 to 5. And so the website's getting developed right now. And so moving forward, because I saw like comments or people are like, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss it. It's not just a one-time event thing. It's a whole actual metaphysical spirit center. And it's going to be, like I said, Thursday through Sundays, 11 to 5. And then online, you'll be able to go and book a slot with a certain practitioner if they have it available. You'll be able to walk in and get card readings. Unfortunately, I'm booked out a couple of months, so I won't have walk-ins. But oh yeah, we're also giving discounts on certain sessions and 10% products, and it's just going to be a lot. So yeah, there's just so much happening. And then I'm having a podcast studio that we're
All
opening
right.
up for other people to also rent, and we like soundproof that room. So I truly wanted to create something that people who sit at home wish that they could do, but they can't, afford the overhead, or they're afraid of getting that no like I used to get.
All right, so the address is 805 Grand Boulevard.
It
And
is.
so 11 o'clock on May 2nd, I will be stopping by at some point that day to check the place out. So we will see you then.
Thank you. I will see you guys there.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
You better work.
Discover our city's hidden gem, hiding right below the sidewalk. Under Bar is a speakeasy-themed cocktail lounge located downtown Vancouver. As an LGBTQ-friendly and gay-owned space, it is a go-to destination for weekly events such as comedy, trivia, bingo, and open mic nights. Local artists are featured every first Friday of the month, and every fourth Sunday is Under Bar's Underground Drag Brunch Show, 2 to 4 p.m. More information and location can be found at underbarvancouver.com. That's underbarvancouver.com.